That's one of those marvelous psalms that is such a joy to sing, such blessing and comfort to the heart of God's people found in those words. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke and the 23rd chapter. Luke chapter 23 for our scripture reading this morning. I'm going to read from verse 26 through verse 46 of the chapter. And then we're actually going to focus our attention on one verse for this morning, but I want to read the broader context as we begin. Luke chapter 23, and I'll begin reading with verse number 34. I said verse 34. We begin reading with verse 26, excuse me. Luke 23, verse 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say unto the mountains, Fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin, Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Let us pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the cross work of Christ. For it is by grace that we are saved, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Father, we thank you that Christ went to the cross willingly. He did not go out of obligation for himself, for Lord, he had no sin. But Lord, he went to the cross bearing our reproach, bearing our sin upon himself. He was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquity. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to be called the sons of God. And it all goes back to the cross. We thank you for the privilege that we have to gather here today in this place. And it all goes back to the cross. Father, we thank you that we are here today and not in hell. For it all goes back to the cross. For Lord, in Him, in Christ, we live and move and breathe and have our being. Our Father, we come here today desiring to be taught of Thee. Desiring that Your Word may be implanted within our hearts, that we might be improved, that we might be made more like Christ, that we might be conformed to His image, that You might continue Your work within us. And so, Father, that is our prayer this day. Glorify Thy Son and edify Thy people. In Jesus' name, amen. I typically don't tend to take one verse, and some of you may think, well, Pastor, you take too many. This morning I want to focus on this one verse, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This word forgive that we have here in verse 34 is an interesting word. And for the beginning of our time together, I want to focus on that word. There are actually 8 different words in our King James Bible that are translated forgive. There's 8 different origins, 5 of them Hebrew, 3 of them Greek. And the word here that is translated forgive, forgive is the secondary translation. Now, it's very close. There's almost as many times that it's translated forgive as other times. But forgive is actually the secondary translation of this word. The primary translation, the one that's used more often, is to send away or to leave or to suffer something, allow something to happen. When Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, it's the same word that he used on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. Let me share with you some of the other places that this word is translated other than forgive. And I think as we look at this broad picture of how this word is used, it helps us to understand what it is to forgive. In Matthew 4, verse 20, and straightway they left their nets and followed him. That left their nets is the same word that Christ uses for forgive. They left their nets behind. They no longer were concerned with their nets. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 11, and when they brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. It's the same word as forgive that Christ uses on the cross. And then in Luke chapter 18, verse 28, then Peter said, lo, we have left all to follow thee. You see the pattern that's developing here. That this word forgive is a word which means forsaking something, leaving it behind, no longer concerned with that. And then in Matthew 19, verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And in verse 29, Christ answers in Matthew 19, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold, and they shall inherit everlasting life. And so this, first of all, is the matter of leaving something behind, no longer concerned with it, forsaking it. We find it with the woman at the well, and she left her water pots. Same word, forgive. And then I've already mentioned in Mark 5, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. This word is also used in the negative when we have Christ condemning the hireling in John 10, verse 12. And he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. So the hireling, he forsakes the sheep. He's running for his life. He's not going to stay around and face danger. The sheep, they're gone. No more concern for them. In Mark 14, verse 50, when Christ is being tried, it says the disciples all forsook him. Same word. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the scribes and Pharisees said, if we don't do something about this, everyone's going to believe. Everyone will follow him. And in John 11, 47 and 48, then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees and councils and said, what do we do? This man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him. And that let him alone is that same word. Now, on the cross, Christ says of those who are crucifying him, Father, forgive them. In other words, Christ is calling upon his Father just to let it go, to send it away. Paul uses this word in 1 Corinthians in relationship to divorce. Send it away. Let it go. Just as the hireling flees from the sheep, run from it. Just as the disciples forsook Jesus and ran from him, forgive. Now, every one of us has been injured. We all have been hurt many times in our lives. None of us like Christ here. What do we do with that hurt? We're commanded in Scripture to forgive. What does it mean to forgive? Well, let it go. Forsake the nets. Leave the water pot. We can't change what has been done. We can't undo the hurt that has been done to us, but we don't have to carry it around the rest of our lives. We don't have to let it be a stone in our shoe. We're to forgive. And so I think to better understand this word forgive is now to look at it in Scripture where it is used and translated in our King James as forgive. And the best example is this. After this manner pray ye therefore, Matthew 6, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it's the same word there. Lord, my sin against you, oh Lord, forgive it. Cast it in the depths of the sea. The wrong that I have done, Lord, send it away. Divorce it from me. And help me to forgive the wrong that has been done to me in that same way. In Romans chapter 12, verse 14, Paul says, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. And in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 23, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ has suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. And in the Psalter that we just sang, we sang of his righteous judgment. And so here Christ, on the cross, suffering far more than we've ever suffered ourselves, who could have called angels to deliver him, who could have called all kinds of curses and judgment on his persecutors, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And friends, brethren, when someone does wrong to me, even when I have the grace to leave it with the Lord, still my old flesh says, get them, Lord. Smite them. Oh, may they have a flat tire on the way home. Lord, do something. That's not right. Because we read here in the example of Christ that he opened not his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not. Paul said, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. And the curse that Paul is talking about there is not using profanity, but rather it is the idea of, you know, sick them, get them, bless and curse not. And so, if we forgive men their trespasses in Matthew 6 and 14, and it's the same word forgive there, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. But there's another matter we need to consider with this verse here in Luke 23. And that is, who does Christ forgive in this context? There are many who would say, well, he was forgiving the Roman soldiers who were pounding the nails because they didn't know what they were doing. There are others that say, well, he was forgiving Herod and he was forgiving Pilate who had sent him to be crucified because they weren't Jews, they didn't understand, they didn't know. And I can understand why people would say that, but I don't believe Scripture bears that out. I believe Christ was forgiving the Jews as well as the Romans. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13, and we're going to consider the testimony of Peter regarding who Christ is forgiving, and then consider the testimony of Paul as to who Christ forgives. In Acts chapter 3, and we'll start our reading in verse 13, but the context is that of the lame man at the temple who has just been healed. Peter comes to the temple, and there's a lame man, and he begs alms, and Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such that I have, give I unto thee, and the man is healed. And the people begin to gather, and Peter begins preaching, and in Acts chapter 3, verse 13, Peter says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye now see. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God hath before showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Jesus should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. And so Peter says, you did this through ignorance, as did your rulers. Now let's think about that. The Jewish leaders, they knew that Christ was innocent. They knew he was not an insurrectionist, but they did not understand who they were dealing with. They did not believe that this was indeed their Messiah, that this was indeed the Christ. For had they believed that, had they known, they would not have condemned Christ. And then, moving quickly, we need to look at the testimony of Paul, and then we're going to get deeper into the passage. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 8, Paul is preaching. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6, howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so they did not understand the hidden wisdom. They knew that this Jesus of Nazareth was an innocent man, and yet, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, here we need to clarify what it is that Christ is forgiving. When Christ said from the cross, Father, forgive them, it didn't mean they were not required to repent. When Christ said, Father, forgive them, he's not forgiving every sin they've committed, but rather it is a more narrow focus. And we need to keep that in mind as we go into this passage. Because I would like us to consider the example that Christ sets for us in forgiveness. What is it that he's doing? And how should our lives be patterned after the same example of Christ? We find, first of all, here on the cross, that Christ forgives the unforgivable. This is the greatest crime that was ever committed in history. This is the greatest injustice that was ever done. The injustice that has been done to you does not compare. The injury that you have received from a friend or from a loved one or from a total stranger, it can't compare. Christ forgave the unforgivable. And how often have we said of ourselves, I can't forgive that. It's just too bad. That's just unforgivable. The Jews are crucifying their own Messiah in ignorance, in denial. The Roman soldiers are pounding nails into the hands of an innocent man. The disciples who should have been there with Christ have fled. I have suffered injury in my life. And I could name today, because my sinful mind will not forget the injuries. I could list them for you. But they don't compare to this. If we are to be in the image of Christ, we find in Scripture that we are to forgive as He forgave, and He forgave the unforgivable. And we read earlier there the description that Peter gave there at the temple after the healing of the lame man. You delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate the Holy One, the just one, and desired a murderer. They mocked him. Ever been mocked? They mocked him. Did you hear what she said about me? I can't believe that he could be so cruel. He knew that that was the scab on my conscience. He knew just where to poke me. If thou be the Son of God, come down and save yourself. He could have done it, folks. Why was he hanging on that cross, and why did he not come down? To provide salvation for mockers. Been mocked like he was mocked. I must forgive the mockery. They lied about him. They brought up false witnesses, and even their false witnesses couldn't agree with one another. I can't believe that he would knowingly say, I did that and I did not. See, my friend, no one has told a lie about me greater than the lie told about Christ. They turned others against him. They even caused his disciples, his closest ones, to flee. Pilate's ready to let him go. I find no fault in him. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Oh, did you ever have your dearest friends forsake you? Afraid to be around you because of the consequences of being with you? That was the disciples. Did you ever have those that you held dear turned against you? David said false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul, Psalm 35. Things I knew not. I didn't know anything about it, and yet it's accused of me. So it was with Christ. They delighted in his downfall. If thou be the Christ, come down and save yourself. Ah, how those that hate us delight when we trip. Delight when we stumble. But Christ forgave that as well. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They physically abused him. They beat him. They scourged him. They stripped him naked. They physically abused him. And I don't know the history or the background of everyone in this congregation, but it is very likely, almost inescapable in a congregation of this size, that there are those here who have been physically abused. Father, forgive them. They don't understand the damage they're doing. They don't understand the awful pain that they are bringing. You see, because he endured that pain, he cried, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My friend, that was the greatest pain of the cross. For here is Christ, who is ever his Father's delight. And yet the back of his Father, the face of his Father is turned away. You see, he forgave the unforgivable. But not only did Christ forgive the unforgivable, we find that he forgave those who did not deserve to be forgiven. You see, it's easy for us in our flesh to say, I know I should forgive him. He does not deserve my forgiveness. She has done me such a terrible wrong. Why should I forgive her? She doesn't deserve to be forgiven. You see, those that Christ forgave were fully guilty. Unfortunately, those that have done us wrong have received wrong from us too. You know the old saying, it takes two to fight? That's true. The people that we need to forgive, we can tally up what they have done against us, but I guarantee you we're not 100% innocent. Not a one of us. We all have our darts that we've thrown as well. But that was not the case with Christ. He was completely innocent. He was the only righteous one. He forgave those who did not deserve forgiveness. But not only did those that Christ forgave not deserve forgiveness, they were guilty, they did not see themselves in need of forgiveness. And this is a difficult one. Because many times the person that we need to forgive doesn't think we need to forgive them. What have I done? There's nothing for you to forgive. I have done nothing wrong. Just like the woman, the adulterous woman who wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wrong, and the crumbs are all over her is the implication of the passage. Ah, my friends, many times the people that we need to forgive declare their righteousness, declare their innocence. He forgave those that did not ask for forgiveness. And this is touchy because we find scriptures where it talks about if our brother comes to us and repents, are we to forgive the unrepentance? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. The 18th chapter of Matthew, and I'll start reading in verse 15. This is the passage that deals with church order. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go unto him, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Does that mean I don't have to forgive him? We have the church order, but it never says don't forgive. It just says he is separated from you. He's a heathen. He's a publican. Just as we talked in Sunday school about the Jews having no dealings with the Samaritans. There is now a space between us. Does that mean that I can hold ill in my heart towards him? It doesn't say that, folks. And there very well may be times when we have to separate people because of contention, because of fights. But I believe with all my heart that we still need to forgive them in our heart. That still, even though we have gone through the steps of church order and they have not heard, they are unrepentant, yet, Lord, give me grace to use this word forgive, which means to forsake the water pots, to walk away from the hurt, to leave the injury behind, suffer it, suffer the little children to come unto me, allow it. Lord, that's what happened. Give me grace just to accept it and move on and to forgive. And then we find that also we are to forgive those who will continue to do us wrong. We use the phrase, the straw that broke the camel's back. I forgave him. And then something else happened. I forgave that. And something else. And I forgave that. And then finally one day, that's it. I'm not forgiving anymore. Who suffers? It is the heart of the believer that suffers when we don't forgive. And so in Matthew 18, then Peter said unto him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee unto seven, but unto 70 times seven. You see, when Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do, they didn't take him down off the cross and stop it, did they? They continued on in what they were doing. Okay, how do we apply this? How do we bring this down to our daily walk with the Lord? I'd like to consider some biblical principles about this matter of forgiveness and the consequences to God's people if we do not forgive. Solomon said in Proverbs 19, verse 11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now, that word pass over a transgression is not this word forgive we're dealing with. So I don't want to confuse there. But I believe the concept that Solomon was putting forth is there to pass over the transgression, to leave the water pots behind, to forsake the nets. Okay, here's the transgression. And move on. To pass over the transgression. And then in Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32, again, not this same word forgive, another one of the Greek words to forgive in this passage. But let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that word for forgive that Paul uses is the word for pure forgiveness or unfettered forgiveness. It's not the same word that Christ was using on the cross in the original, but the same word in our King James. Okay, if we are unwilling to forgive, we will not be forgiven. Mark chapter 11, verse 26, but if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And in Matthew 18, Christ gave us the parable of the servant who owed 10,000 talents to his master, and he could not pay, and the master was ready to lock him up in prison and sell his wife into servanthood. And the servant falls before his master and says, "Give me time and I'll pay." And his master forgave him all. And then the servant goes out and finds another servant who owes him a small amount of money, who owes him 100 pence, just a fraction of what the first servant owes. And he demands it. He takes him by the throat. He says, "Pay me the money." Christ condemns the servant. He says, "You were forgiven. You must forgive as well." My friend, if we are unwilling to forgive, then our sins remain unforgiven because they're unconfessed. They're unrepented of. Forgive that we may be forgiven. And then also, if we are unwilling to forgive, our prayers will not be heard. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. James 3, verse 14 and following. "But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Mark 11, 25 and 26, "When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye forgive not, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." If we are unwilling to forgive, our offering is unacceptable. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. "Therefore, if ye bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth that thy brother hast aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother. Then come and offer thy gift." Number four, we're almost done. If we are unwilling to forgive, the Spirit will be quenched. Ephesians 4, verses 29 to 32. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And in the last one, and I think in many ways this is the most important lesson for us to learn. If we are unwilling to forgive, then we miss the blessing and the teaching that God intended in the evil. You see, if someone is doing evil against me, it can only be because God has allowed them to do evil against me. Satan had to ask for permission to touch Job. And if there is somebody that I have to forgive, they could not have done against me whatever it was they did without God allowing it. They could not have said that. God could have stopped them. They could have not have stolen that. God could have stopped them. They could not have done what they did if God didn't let them do it. And if we are unwilling to forgive, we lose the blessing that God intended for us. Go with me to Genesis chapter 50. Joseph's brothers hated him without cause. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Joseph goes into slavery and then he's lied about and he ends up in prison. He has all kinds of things that he could curse about, that he could bring railing accusation against his brothers. And then what happens? Daddy dies. And now the brothers are terrified, because they know, they understand that while their father was living, Joseph wouldn't be like us. Because remember, the brothers had told the father that Joseph was dead. Or anyway, here's his bloody coat. He must be dead. They knew the sorrow they had brought upon their father, and they say, oh, well, Joseph won't do that, but now Jacob is dead. Genesis 14:21. And Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent messengers unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went up and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If we are unwilling to forgive, we miss the blessing that God intended in the wicked man's lies. We miss the lesson that God wanted to teach us through the trial. Jesus Christ forgave, and he has left us an example that we too should forgive the unforgivable. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. And Lord, you know we desire to do right. We desire to be righteous before you. And yet, Father, we live in these bodies of flesh. And Lord, we confess before you that many times we have to forgive, and then the next day we have to forgive it all over again, because our hearts stir up the dirt again and again. But Lord, help us to forgive. Help us to forsake the water pots. Help us to forsake the nets. Help us to allow the evil to have happened and to move on. Father, continue your work in us of molding us and making us day by day into that which you'd have us to be. Make us like Christ, we pray. Conform us to that image. And Lord, we pray this now in Jesus' name.